morning we're going to start a new series or a new book, and the book is in Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a phenomenal book. Some say it's an Eeyore book, right? Nothing but pessimism and woe is me and I got life so bad. But I think that Ecclesiastes is a wonderfully challenging book. So, the book of Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. By the way, you can't read Ecclesiastes, or if you do read Ecclesiastes and then you go to the New Testament, you'll find all the answers to the questions that he asked. Right? So, it's just really a cool book. King Solomon writes it. Let me give you some information on King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, before him, during him, and since him. King Solomon was the wisest, but he wasn't always the smartest. For example, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Not too intelligent. How many are looking at me like, that can't be real? How many think that can't be real? Amen. It was real. And so God told him, though. God said, hey, Solomon, listen, God gave, this dude was rich beyond rich. So in today's society, if you looked at his wealth and compared it today, he would have had more money than Bill Gates. And who's that dude that owns Amazon? What is it? Bezos. He would have had more money than Soros, Bezos, Oprah, and Zuckerberg. Now think about that for a second. Because do you guys realize they were all billionaires? The ones that I just mentioned are billionaires? And King Solomon was like, pennies, go away. He was incredibly wealthy. He was incredibly wise. He had wisdom beyond wisdom. One of my favorite events that happened with him that where he showed wisdom was two women came before him with a live baby. How many know what I'm about to share, right? And so what happened was with these moms, as both of them, the babies were born virtually the same time. And one mom rolled over onto her child and smothered her child that night. And so she woke up, realized her child was dead, and swapped with the mother of the one who had the child that was still alive. They were in the same room, obviously. And so she swapped children. Well, they get up the next morning, and the mom goes, this isn't my child. And the other mother goes, oh, yes, it is. This is my child. And so now we have this conflict. So the two women take it before the king, King Solomon. They take it before the king, and the king says, we're going to settle this nice and easy. Guards, take that child and cut it in half. Give one half to one woman, one half to the other woman. Settled. Now, how many sitting there thinking, are you crazy, King Solomon? How many is thinking that's just over the top, right? And so the one woman said, fine, let it be. The other woman said, whoa, no, don't do that. Give her the child. And the king said, that's the mother. Give the child to that woman right there. Amen? Because the real mother says, I will not let my child die. The other mother that says, let it be. That way their child's like my child, dead. The king was so intelligent, and he settled it just like that. People would travel from all around what would have been their world at the time, to go see King Solomon. And I'm talking other kings and queens and Gentiles were coming to the Jewish to seek for wisdom and understanding. Amazing. Wealth upon wealth upon wealth, and the army, and just, listen, nobody messed with King Solomon. And God even asked King Solomon in the beginning, and this is how it all started, when King Solomon, who is the son of King David, God says to King Solomon, you ask me anything, and I'll give it to you. Now, if God came to you and said, ask me anything and I'll give it to you, how many in their mind immediately already know what they'd ask for? How many think, I only got three playing this game all morning. What is up with that? How many of you in your mind, this is where nobody's going to raise their hands, you immediately thought of things, material things, new car, new truck. I personally want a four-wheel drive Chevrolet, crew cab. I'm just saying, at this point, I don't care what color. It could be pink. I'm solid in my manhood. I just want the truck. And so, now, how many say, you know what? I want a loved one saved. How many say, you know what? I want a loved one healed of cancer. How many say, you know what? Just bring back. I mean, there's a multitude of things that we could ask for, amen? And some of it's selfish, some of it not selfish. And Solomon said, God, I want wisdom to guide your people in your way. And God said, son, I'm paraphrasing, son, since you asked for such a thing that was so unselfish, I'm going to give you wisdom that no man has ever had, nor will man ever have again, so that you can lead my people. God blesses him with this crazy wisdom. And the knowledge of that went throughout the land. And like I said, people were coming, kings were coming, queens were coming. I mean, and they were paying him like this unbelievable amount of money because of his wisdom and how he was helping them out. And they were just giving him cattle and camels and you name it, and wealth and gold and silver, and just pouring it out on him. But he was told, don't marry women from other nations. You know, a lot of times when people think that you're not supposed to intermarry, you know, it's not, the Bible never speaks of color. The Bible's always referencing Israel, never marry outside of the Jews, your nation, because we got to keep the bloodline pure. We got to keep things right so Jesus could come from. That was what it was all about. And it was the same way with Solomon. Solomon, hey, I'm going to bless you, dude, but don't marry outside of your nation, your people group. Solomon, not too smart, wise, incredibly wise. But there's a difference between wisdom and intelligence, amen? Or wisdom and being smart. And so he marries 700 women. And then he does the craziest thing, other than marry 700 women. He makes an idol, an altar for every one of them to worship their own God. I'm going to tell you, there's a multitude of you in here that has a multitude of idols. You worship your own God. And the Creator's not it. I believe in God. Hey, I get it. You believe in God. But you're worshiping other gods, little g gods, just like Solomon did. And listen, you could be wise, but you may not be too intelligent. And so, all these years go by, And Solomon becomes the preacher. Yeah. Okay, I'm digging that, right? That's okay, maybe you're not, but I did. Solomon becomes the preacher, and he starts asking a lot of questions. A lot of questions. He literally starts looking at life like a lost man. It's all vanity, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. And as I was looking at that, I went, you know, really what Solomon is saying is bubbles, bubbles. It's all bubbles. Right? I hope these are good. That's all I'm saying. And so as I was thinking about that, bubbles, bubbles, it's all bubbles. I want you to take notice of bubbles, if this will work. Aren't they pretty? I mean, look at the different, the light that hits it, right? Man, just so cool, right? Look at this. All right, let's get them up a little higher. Maybe not as many bubbles as I thought. There we go. Look at that. Those are cool, aren't they? How many want to see them back here? How many like bubbles? Right? You guys like bubbles, don't you? Here we go. Don't let it get in your mom's mouth. Look at that. Or her eyes. Yeah. Yeah. Aren't those cool bubbles? Dude, bubbles. Bubbles.
You don't like bubbles. Oh, no.
I know, right? Bubbles are so cool. They exist. They're beautiful. But what's their purpose? They're here. They're gone, and come tomorrow, you won't remember a bubble one. Amen? And that's what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes. Life is junk. What's the purpose? Man, I work so hard for what? I can't even enjoy it. Man, I got all this money, can't even enjoy it. And what's it for? So what? Who cares? We live this life. We live it. And it just goes all every... Okay, I get up. Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day? How many feel like they're living in Groundhog Day with this COVID? I go to bed, I get up, and I live life. And I go to bed, and I get up, and I live life. And I go to bed, and I get up, and I live life. And it's just Groundhog Day. What is the purpose? And who cares? We live, we die. So what? That's Ecclesiastes. We can all go home now. How many feel, and just in all honesty, especially now with COVID, because COVID, I'm telling you, I'm counseling a lot of people that are struggling mentally and spiritually because they're like, I'm so depressed. I can't do anything. I can't do this. I can't do that. Listen, churches, people are going to church, but they got to wear their masks. They got to stand still. They can't sing. They just got to look around. We can't worship God. Are you kidding me? Go to the store, put a mask on. Say hello to someone, better have a mask on, better get 6 feet apart. Oh, they're too close, you're 5'9". I went into Walmart the other day, and I didn't wear a mask. Kept my distance from everyone, you know, because the mandate, not the law, the mandate says wear a mask or stay 6 feet from everyone. If you stay 6 feet, you don't have to wear a mask. I'm like, 6 foot, dude, get back. I'm not near a soul. No one. Nobody. Nothing. Nada. Guy comes around the corner, every bit of 10 feet from me. And he stops and he just stares at me with this evil look. To which I respond, hey, good morning, how are you doing? Amen? Amen? Yeah, I'm like, hey, man, how are you doing? And he just stares. I'm like, dude, I hope you're having a great day. And he just stares. And I was like, man, really, I hope you're having a wonderful day. He just stares. I said, dude, if you keep that up, I'm going to take it as a threat and things are about to change. And he walked on. And I thought to myself, we're living in a crazy world. We're living in a crazy world. Here's a question. Why do bad things happen to good people, but yet bad people get away with all kinds of things? Or here's a better question. Why do the good die young? Why do we have death? Why do we have struggles? Why do we have problems? Why do we have Antifa? Which is all of that wrapped into one. Why has our world gone crazy? Why do we just keep getting up Groundhog Day? Every day we go to bed, we wake up, we go to work, we go home, we go to bed, we wake up, we go to work, we go home, we go to bed, we wake up. What is... And that's Solomon. That's Ecclesiastes. And he says, vanity. Vanity. It's useless. I don't know why we got to do it. Who cares? And if we left it at that, we would miss the answers. King Solomon... and by the way, let me tell you something about Ecclesiastes. I don't find it to be a pessimistic book. I find it to be incredibly challenging. If you guys want to be challenged, you hang out while we're going through Ecclesiastes. I promise you, you will be challenged with questions about life. Real questions about life that you have to answer. You legit are going to have to answer that in your own heart of hearts and in your own mind. This isn't about playing church, being in church, being a Christian, being lost. This is about humanity at its core. And there's a lot of you, many of you, that not only are here but are not here, that are out there watching live, that you're asking yourself the same question, man. What is life and who cares? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Jesus, come back quickly. And then the young ones are like, nope, not yet. I haven't experienced having a child. I want to get married. I want to do this. I want to do that. And, no, Jesus, hold off. And then those who have wisdom are going, no. Come quickly. Those who aren't too smart are like, no, not yet. That's just my opinion, but anyway. Ecclesiastes is going to challenge us in so many ways, and it's going to answer so many of your questions that you're going to have to be gut honest to the core. Please let that be her last time. You guys are going to have to answer this to the core. What is life? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Is there life after death? If there is, what is it? Can I have it? Am I doomed? Should I tell somebody about Jesus? Or is it all vanity and just worthless anyway? We're just here because everything here is just made up junk. Like, we're going to be challenged to the core. Ecclesiastes is not a pessimistic book by any means. Some will say it is, but it's not. We are challenged. We will be challenged. I'll tell you how not pessimistic it is. The Jewish synagogue traditionally reads Ecclesiastes on the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles in September or early October. It is their annual harvest festival, and they read Ecclesiastes not because it's a woe is me book and it's all vanity and we might as well just give up and die. It's like bubbles, bubbles, and more bubbles. They're there, they're pretty, they're gone. Who cares? They look at it and go, man, every time I read this and I have to answer these questions, it forces me to look at some realities that we typically don't even think about sometimes. And if we think about it, we just blow it off because what else is there? It's Groundhog Day. And who can, and there's nothing I can do to change it. How many here have, since COVID, have just absolutely gotten in a rut, and maybe even before that, just absolutely in a rut, and you're like, man, life's got to be more than this. Right? How many here have lost their creativity since COVID? How many have gained creativity since COVID? Do you know the difference between losing and gaining? Attitude. I'm telling you, I flat out refuse to quit living life. I just made it a point. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, Pastor, I stopped by and was visiting, and God just laid them on my heart. I was concerned with them, and I said, hey, how you doing? And they said, well, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to be around much longer. I go, what are you talking about? You're not moving. You're not allowed to move till I'm allowed to move. No, I just think life's coming to an end. I said, wow, you and I need to talk. What's going on? And so he starts sharing with me, and I said, you're depressed. That's all it is. You are depressed, and you have taken it to the furthest degree, and you want to quit. And the reason I think that we want to quit is because we don't understand the value of life. I think we want to quit because we're not living life to the fullest on every level. Let me help you here. There's not a person in this room who's had a bad thing happen to you that someone else hasn't had a bad thing happen to them. People say life's unfair. The reality is life is unfair for everyone, therefore life is fair. Did you get that? Because life is unfair for the whole, it is fair for the whole. We've all had to deal with issues. We've all had to ask ourselves questions of why. Why do I even just stay? Why do I stay into this? I just need to get out. And it might be a relationship. Let me help you. The reason you're thinking that way is because you've lost focus. You go to where Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is, and you're like, what's the sense? It's all vanity. I might as well just bail. What you've done is you have lost the value of life and living. You've really, truly lost what it means to live. And so when we lose that, and we can't see the reason, the purpose, or even the goal anymore, right? We think, so what? And then we quit. And when you quit, do you realize that 98% of the people that quit when they're 95% to their goal? 98% of the people that quit when they're 95% to their goal. And here we have Solomon who's asking real questions. And I'm going to tell you, he answers these questions. And he talks like a lost man. He really does. And what I mean by lost man, someone who has no hope, doesn't know God, and is like, listen, man, I got all this money, but who cares? I got this life, but who cares? I got all these women, who cares? I got the best job in the world, who cares? I can do anything I want, who cares? Where's the value in it? It's worthless. And you know, some of you guys have a great life, and you sit back and you're like, it's horrible. It's just horrible. They don't even sell the ice cream I like anymore. which they sell it, but it seems like every time I go there, they're out. It's horrible. Sturtz has let me down. Okay. That's what I call Sturtz. For those of you who are wondering where Sturtz is, I call Sturtz, 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 Sturtz. How it works. All right, here we go. And so what happens is the Jewish synagogue every year reads this because you know why? They want to be reminded. They want to be reminded of the questions and the answers that keep them celebrating life. I think so many of us have been caught up in problems, and we've allowed those problems, instead of solving them, to dominate us. And I'm going to tell you, and you need to hear this, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a big, strong man, little, tiny child. I don't care. Enough of the same pressure will crumble anyone. Enough of the same pressure will crumble anyone. What's the pressure that's crumbling you? What's causing you to not live? What's causing you to live like you shouldn't live? What's causing you to give up? What is the pressure that is in your life and is so bad that it has caused you to surrender living? You need to answer the question, not to me, but you need to answer that question. Because until you deal with that pressure, you're not going to live like you should. And some of you might be in here like, hey, life is grand. I've got no pressures. Well, praise Jesus. Check this one off as your warning sign to pay attention. Guys, Ecclesiastes is what's going to challenge us to live. Normally, September, October, I do relationship series, right? You guys know every year for the last, believe it or not, this will be 14 years. This October is 14 years since we started the church. Amen, man. Give God the glory. Don't sit there asleep on me. Really? That's all the more you're going to give God? Oh, my goodness, man. You guys need to wake up. Amen, right? 14 years. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, man. When God is in it, nothing's going to stop it. But every year for 14 years, I have done relationship series. It's just what I've done because I think that relationship is incredibly important. And I think that every relationship is incredibly important. Even your acidic relationships are incredibly important. And they're so important that you better deal with them and get it out of your life. Right? That's what I'm saying. Fix it. If you're married, don't get it out of your life. Fix it. If it's your spouse. If it's not your spouse, kick them out. Don't let that mess in your life. Amen? I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I have come to the realization, and this is going to sound so ugly, especially as a pastor. If you need help, call me. I'm all in. I am. I will be there. I will help you out any way, every way I can. But if after the second or the third time I realize that you really don't want help, you just want someone to vent to, I'm done. I'm not going to invest and pour my time into someone that doesn't want to fix things. They just want to vent. You can't do it. As a matter of fact, Paul even told Timothy, man, listen, you invest and you pour into people that want to invest and pour into people that want to invest and pour into people that want to invest and pour into people. Why? Well, because that's what we got to do. Because the reality is, guys, we're all struggling. There's not anyone in this room that doesn't wake up with a problem. And if you do wake up with a problem, rejoice in that day because it'll change. Because that's just life. How you hit it, how you attack it, is going to determine how much joy you have in your life. Ecclesiastes. It's not a pessimistic book. It is a challenging book to move us to deal with junk and to celebrate what is good and to put the value on both and never put the junk as valuable or higher than the gold. And so many people do that. So many people are like, oh, these are my problems, my problems, my problems, my problems. Well, what about the gold? How about you take the problems and go, you have less room, you have less room, you have less room, you have less room. You gold, you look good, baby. I'm putting you up here. Why don't we do that? Why do we focus on the negative and kill ourselves? I don't understand it. Solomon challenges us to deal with those things. And I'm telling you, he's going to ask some real questions. Some real questions that are going to challenge you to the very core of your essence. And what you do with them, that'll determine how well you live life. And if you hear a problem, and then you hear the solution, and then you say this, well, they don't understand. That's different than my problem. Guess what the problem is? You. Amen? Guys, listen. All of Ecclesiastes, as we go through this, is going to deal with this. It's going to deal with our relationships. So that's why I'm starting in Ecclesiastes. We should be out of it in about 5 years. And this is going to be really good. Okay, I'm kidding. For those of you who went, 5 years? I can't. I'm kidding. It's not 5 years. I won't tell you how long, but it won't be 5 years. Romans was 3, but this isn't as long as Romans, so we should be able to cut that in half, amen? I want you to see what Solomon does. Solomon compares man to God, or to the character of God. And man clearly exists as an exceedingly sinful and thankless being. There you go, I just lifted you up on high. And then it's because of this that the exhortation of Ecclesiastes commands us to fear God. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm just going to tell you. And so many of you choose to live in defeat. So many of you choose to live a life without Jesus. Or you this, guess what? You know Jesus, but you're not interested in knowing Jesus. There's a difference. And the multitude, unfortunately, today, I know Jesus, but you're not interested in knowing Jesus. You know what you're interested in? Vanity, vanity, vanity. You just want the bubbles. And you can have the bubbles. Listen, God does not deny us the bubbles. But I'm going to tell you this, when it's all over, you'll have nothing. If you choose the bubbles over God, and the multitude of you are choosing bubbles over God. They're beautiful. Like fireworks, right? Oh, yay! And then when they're gone, they're gone. Smoke is the only thing left. And so, hopefully the idea is, as we go through this, that you literally will fear God. And that doesn't mean, oh, I'm afraid of God. It means that you'll reverence Him, you'll honor Him, you'll give Him proper place in your life. God, as a title in Ecclesiastes, is God. Solomon references God in Ecclesiastes 40 times. Solomon talks about God's sovereignty and control over man. God's providential grace, God's eternality, God's creatorship, His perfection, His justice and holiness. And by the way, guys, understand this. Some of you are mad at God because something's happened in your life. But you have to understand that if God is not just and if He doesn't deal with issues, and God, listen, I'm telling you, I am not God, you are not God, and we don't always like what God does, we don't always understand what God does, but as we go through Ecclesiastes, you're going to see that God does everything with a purpose. We just don't like it. You know, if we look at someone else's their sin, and we're like, man, God needs to deal with them. And then God deals with them, and you're like, yeah, that's right, that's good, that's good. That God, you did good. You needed to deal with that. And then all of a sudden, we got the same problem, but nobody knows about it, so And then God deals with us, and it's like, God, what did I do wrong? We don't mind when God deals with someone else, but we usually hate when God deals with us. Amen? This whole idea of this is God dealing with man, God, how God works in our lives. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to challenge you to your core. This deals with God's omnipresence, meaning he's everywhere, omniscience, that he knows everything, his omnipotence, he's all powerful. And these are all things that we're going to talk about in Scripture, as well as the questions that deal very personal with our lives, because Solomon asked them. God's preservation of his saints. You know, you guys hear me all the time talking about salvation, salvation, salvation. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. I have zero qualms with telling someone, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. Not because I want to tell them that, but because I don't want them to be... I don't want the day to come when they go, I didn't know. And even more than that, I don't want the day to come where God says, hey, son, yeah, I'm talking to you, Westfall. He wouldn't really do it like that, but you get the idea. You had opportunity. You had opportunity to tell this person and that 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 person, and you were silent. Why? I don't want that. I don't want that. And so I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. He died on the cross so that you don't have to. He suffered a horrible death so you don't have to. He went to hell and conquered hell so you don't have to go to hell and stay there. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and without him, none of us have any hope of getting to heaven. And so Solomon asked the question about eternity. Is there an eternal life? If there is an eternal life, shouldn't I be more focused on that than all the glory I have? I mean, listen, you're talking about a king who lacks nothing, who's asking all of these questions because he is living in frustration that life has got to be more than this. Madonna, this is back in the 80s. Madonna, who at that time was one of the wealthiest singers of all time, and at the time she asked a question, she had over $50 million in the bank, had life every way you want it, and she said this, there's got to be more. Not more money, not more things, not more events, not more places to go. There's just got to be more to life. I have everything and I feel like I'm empty. I have everything, but what's the purpose? I have everything, but I feel like I got nothing. That was Madonna. And we're all going to be honest. We often ask the question too, especially when we've allowed our life to get to a point that it should never have gotten to. Really? This is all there is? We're going to be challenged, guys. We're going to be challenged. Eternal life, man. By the way, I'm just going to tell you this. Let's just say that Jesus is not real. And those of you who go, who cares? Well, we're all in the same boat. Who cares? Like, you've lost nothing, I've lost nothing, it's all good life, amen? But what if everything in this is true? What if Jesus is the only way? And you've gained the whole world, and you've lost your only soul? What if? What if this Bible is right and God says that we are to live a righteous and a holy life, and you say, Lord, I'll live my life the way I want. I'll see you when I get there. What if what he says is accurate and the way he's going to deal with us? What if? See, the reality is for me, if you're right and you don't believe there's a God and who cares, it's all vanity anyway, just do whatever you're going to do, okay. I haven't lost anything. Nothing. So what? I may have missed a few parties, I may have missed a few things, but who cares? It's still a good run. But if I'm right, that I believe the Bible is right, you have sacrificed and lost everything. Your life is but a vapor. You're here for a short while. And then you vanish away. Much like the bubbles. Here for a little while. Glorious. Yay. Poof. Gone. Done. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with that. God requires us to honor him. God requires obedience before sacrifice. What's that all about? And then we end it with the way he looks at God's word. Bubbles, bubbles, man. It's all shimmering and beautiful and multicolored and just a wonderful thing. I want you to see that in Ecclesiastes, and we're going to cover a multitude of things, but Solomon talks about he used the word good 52 times, so it's not a pessimistic book. Please come back. He uses the word wisdom or wise 52 times. He uses the word or references God 40 times. He references the heart 40 times. Vanity and emptiness, he says 38 times. Might I remind you, there's only 12 chapters. 38 times he says vanity or emptiness. And by the way, the same word used for vanity in Ecclesiastes is the same word throughout the New Testament that references idols. And so if they use the word idol, it literally means vanity or emptiness. Isn't that interesting? You can have all the idols you want, but it's vanity and emptiness. Worthless, futile. He talks about time 37 times. Guys, what are you doing with your time? How valuable is time? Is time worth anything? What is our time for? Why are we here? Groundhog Day. Is that all there is? Time. He talks about time 37 times. He talks about trouble. 33 times he references trouble. Evil, 30 times. Under the sun, nothing new under the sun, right? 29 times he references under the sun. Life, or to live, he talks about 26 times, or references it 26 times. Rejoice, or have joy. Man, you know, guys, he mentions that 17 times. Give and gift is 12 times. Eat and drink is 6. Joy. How many here struggle with joy? You're just going to be absolute honest, not the same three all the time. You're just legit. You struggle with joy sometimes. The reason that you struggle with joy is you've lost focus. You can't lose focus. You're looking at the wrong thing with the wrong expectations. And you know the only place you can find joy? The Bible says? Oh, happiness is everywhere. Oh, please, do not let me mislead you. Happiness is everywhere. If I get my new truck, Silverado, or the Sierra, GMC, I'm cool with GMC. I like GMC. Four-door, four-wheel drive, prefer leather interior, power windows, Cruise air tilt, not much more. Yeah, I don't even care about navigation. Who cares? I just get lost. When I get that, I'd be happy. Oh, I got my truck. And then about 8-9 years later, I'll be going, look how rusted that thing is. Right? Like happiness is gone. Happiness comes and goes. It's an ebb and flow. Happiness is dependent upon happenings. People are like, I just want to be happy. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you are just looking for happiness, you are allowing your circumstances to control your mood. It is said that the one who angers you controls you. That which makes you happy controls you. We don't want happiness. You're like, really, Pastor? I want to be happy. Look, I like happy every now and then too. I do. But you know what I want more than happiness? Joy. Joy. You know why? Because joy is of the Lord, and it doesn't matter what happens around me. Nothing can take that. Nothing. It does not matter what happens around me. Nothing's going to steal my joy. And if my focus is right and my joy is right, my relationships are right. Everything around me is right. When my focus is off and my joy is gone and I'm looking for happiness, I'm going to get pretty stupid. Someone say amen. Amen doesn't mean you're guilty. It just means you agree. Just saying. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about joy. Joy. That's why I said earlier, I made it a point. I am not going to allow people and things to dictate my joy. Not going to allow it. And if your focus is on the wrong things, you can't prevent it. If your focus is on being happy, it's a drug. Yay, I'm happy. I got a new toy. Yay, I'm happy. I got to go somewhere new. Yay, I'm happy. There's vacation. Oh, it's wintertime and I got to stay in the house. Where's my drug? Where's my drug? Where's my drug? Oh, let me go to the tanning salon. I'm getting ready for vacation. Yeah. Right? Guys, I'm just telling you, that is life. But if you got joy, it's amazing. I was talking to her name has just completely left me. Betty Rose. Remember Betty Rose? She's come here before she passed away. And we were talking and she said, I'm not needed. She was so depressed, she wanted to quit taking all of her medication and end her life sooner. Because I'm not needed. I'm not needed. I'm not needed. And I said, Betty Rose, you don't want to be needed. I don't want to be needed. If I'm needed, then I'm only needed for the moment that I'm needed. And when the need is gone, I'm not needed anymore. Who wants to be needed? I don't want to be needed. I said, Betty Rose, I want to be wanted. I want to be wanted. That means that they want me there not because of any other reason than that they want me there. I want to be wanted. And when you're wanted, that brings way more joy than the need. God wants me. God wants you. Solomon says, listen, stay focused on that which is important, because you don't want to be happy, you want joy, and you don't want to be needed, you want to be wanted, and God wants you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. Listen, I am giving you the whole look of Ecclesiastes without giving it away, because I need something to preach for the next several weeks. When our perspective is lost, and our understanding is tainted, and our joy is gone, our focus gets switched, we fall into the trap of, I want happiness, which now puts us on a roller coaster, the ups and downs, and then we start seeking the wrong things to fulfill the wrong things. And then what happens? We sacrifice relationships. We sacrifice health. We sacrifice security by spending everything we got, all in search of wanting to be happy. And if you are in search of happiness, let me tell you where you are. You are far from God. Far. Far. Ecclesiastes asks some real questions that brings us back to reality. I want everyone to turn their Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. And some of you are going to go, woo, the end of the book. You don't get that excited. I'm ending with this. The primary purpose of Ecclesiastes is to teach us wisdom and help us have understanding. It is an amazing book. Please do not for 1 minute think that that this is going to be a boring book, because it's going to be probably one of the most challenging, in-depth teachings that I've probably ever done. So I want to encourage you to come back every week. It will absolutely be for your benefit. The purpose of Ecclesiastes, I think Solomon sums it up in chapter 12, verse 9. We'll start, I want you to go to 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity or futile, worthless. Plug in whatever word you want. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. If you notice, it says that he sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. He's saying that he feels like he this is what he gave. Verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Any further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so what he's saying is, listen, guys, I've worked hard to choose the right words for this book. Honestly, you could take out Ecclesiastes and put in evangelist. Because that was Solomon's agenda, was to help us to see the things that we struggle with. Answer some questions that every human being has on every level. And he says, I've worked hard to pick the right words to teach you wisdom and understanding. And so as we go through this, my prayer is that you gain wisdom and understanding. My prayer is you understand the difference between joy and happiness and that which gives joy or that which gives happiness. My prayer is that you understand where you are in life with each situation. My prayer is that you don't, that who cares that you know Jesus, but you want to get to know Jesus. There's a difference. There's so many people I can go, yeah. Yeah, I know Sherry. Yeah, I know who she is. Versus, maybe. I won't get to know you, baby, right? I'm just saying, that's my wife, just so you guys know. And so, right, there's just like this huge difference of knowing someone and wanting to get to know that someone. And the majority of you, it's so unfortunate, but statistically speaking, you say, I know God, but you're not interested in knowing God. Ecclesiastes, I hope, will change that. That's the whole goal. Just to give you wisdom, understanding, insight, challenge you at your very core to think well past what you think with real questions about real life that we deal with every day. Every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and love you, Father. Thank you for this time. Father, I pray that you would challenge each and every one of us to come back each and every week to learn more about you. Father, to be challenged on such a personal level like never before. Father, to be challenged to truly look at ourselves, to look at our life, to look at our relationships in the truest light that can be shown. And Father, that the challenges would be so great that we don't stop with the question, but we search out the answer so we can fix whatever the problem is, or we can grow that much more to help someone else get there as well. Father, help us to see everything in all the different facets. Father, help us to see a problem not necessarily as a problem, but as a challenge to fix things. Father, help us to see things not necessarily in any other way than a challenge to better ourselves, better our life, to better someone else's life, to better our marriage, to better our relationships with our children, with our friends, with our family. Father, help us to just look at these questions and attack them with the desire to grow closer to you and to fix that which is wrong and to hold on to that which is right and to bring people along with us so that you're glorified. And Father, we're not just existing on earth, but we are truly living life to its fullest. Father, I pray you bring each and everyone back next week. Father, they bring a friend with them. And then as we look at Solomon's challenges, we change our lives and we help others change their life. And it's good. Father, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.